stand by. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Gentex Third Quarter 2008 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Connie Hamblin, Vice President of Investor Relations and Corporate Communication. Please go ahead, Ms. Hamblin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining Gentex Corporation for our third quarter conference call comments. On the call with me today is Enoch Jen, our Senior Vice President, as well as Steve Dyckman, our Chief Financial Officer. I'll go through a few routine matters, and then we'll turn the call over to Enoch. He will make his comments about the quarter, and then we will open it up to Q&A. This call is being broadcast live on the Internet on Gentex Corporation's website at www.gentex.com. The auto playback of the conference call also is available on the website as well. Before I proceed with discussing the safe harbor statement and other comments, I think that we need to take the opportunity to remind everyone that Gentex does have a quiet period every quarter that encompasses the last 10 business days of the quarter and lasts through the date of our quarterly earnings news release and conference call. And every quarter we have a number of individuals who call during this period. And going forward, we would request that you respect our policy and understand that we are not going to be taking or returning phone calls during that period. If something does change materially, obviously we would need to issue a news release as is required by Reg FD like we did this quarter, to ensure that everyone gets the same information at the same time, and we do appreciate your understanding and adherence to this policy. This call is being recorded by Gentex Corporation. All contents of Gentex Corporation's conference calls are the property of Gentex. No such content may be copied, published, reproduced, rebroadcast, retransmitted, or otherwise redistributed without the express written consent of Gentex. Gentex alone holds such rights. While we understand that there may be companies that transcribe and redistribute our conference calls, notwithstanding this warning, Gentex Corporation provides no authorization to do so and expressly disclaims any responsibility for any unauthorized use of the content. We advise that you should not rely on the content of any unauthorized transcripts, as Gentex Corporation will not be held liable for the content of any such transcripts. Gentex Corporation will hold responsible and liable any party for any damages incurred by Gentex with respect to any such unauthorized use. Your participation implies consent to our taping and to the foregoing terms. Please drop off the line if you do not agree to these terms. This presentation may include forward-looking statements that are based on management's belief, assumptions, current expectations, estimates, and projections about top-line growth and the global automotive industry, the economy, the impact of stock option expenses on earnings, the ability to leverage fixed manufacturing overhead costs, unit shipment growth rates, and the company itself. Words like anticipate, believes, confident, estimates, expects, forecasts, likely, plans, projects, and should, and variations of such words and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. These statements do not guarantee future performance and involve certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that are difficult to predict with regard to timing, expense, likelihood, and degree of occurrence, and actual results may differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to update, amend, or clarify forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. We urge you to review the full safe harbor statement that is contained in the news release that is posted on our website. At this time, I will turn the phone call over to Enoch Jen, and he will make his remarks regarding the quarter. After Enoch makes his remarks, we will open it up to Q&A. And as always, we request that you ask single-part questions and one at a time. Enoch?
Good morning. For the third quarter, revenues were $153.1 million. Compared to $162.5 million reported in the third quarter of 2007, and a 6% decrease. For the first 9 months, revenues were $501.5 million, a 4% increase over $483.2 million reported for the first 9 months of 2007. Operating income for the third quarter was $23.3 million compared to $34.6 million reported in the third quarter of 2007, a 33% decrease. For the first 9 months, operating income was $99 million compared to $105.1 million in the first 9 months of 2007, a 6% decrease. For the third quarter, net income was $15.1 million compared to $29.8 million reported in the third quarter of 2007, a 49% decrease. For the first 9 months, net income was $72.5 million compared to $90.3 million in the first 9 months of 2007, a 20% decrease. Diluted earnings per share for the third quarter was 11 cents compared to 21 cents reported in the third quarter of 2007. For the first 9 months, diluted earnings per share were 51 cents compared to 63 cents in the first 9 months of 2007. Looking next at automotive revenues and auto dimming mirror unit shipments, total auto dimming mirror unit shipments decreased by about 5% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with third quarter last year. Automotive revenues decreased by 6% from $156.5 million in the third quarter of 2007 to $147.3 million in the third quarter of 2008. Total auto-dimming mirror unit shipments increased by 2% in the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the first 9 months of 2007. For the first 9 months of 2008, automotive revenues increased by 4% to $484.2 million compared with $464.8 million for the first 9 months of 2007. The UAW strikes earlier in the year negatively impacted automotive revenues in the first two quarters of 2008 by approximately $8.3 million. General Motors worldwide represented 19% of total company revenues for calendar year 2007. For 2008 year-to-date, GM worldwide represented approximately 13% of total company revenues. Auto-dimming mirror unit shipments in North America decreased by 27% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same period in 2007, primarily as a result of significantly lower light vehicle production. North American light vehicle production decreased by 16% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same prior year period. GMT 900 light vehicle production was down 45% in the third quarter of 2008 compared to the same period in 2007, and those vehicles utilize an interior and an exterior mirror on each vehicle. In addition, other automakers announced extended pickup and SUV plant closings during the quarter, resulting in total light truck/SUV production in North America being down by 32% in the third quarter of 2008. Auto-dimming mirror unit shipments in North America decreased by 13% in the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same period in 2007. North American light vehicle production declined by 13% in the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same prior year period. GMT 900 light vehicle production was down 42%, and total light truck /SUV production was down 21% for the first 9 months of 2008 compared to the same period in 2007. Auto-dimming mirror unit shipments to offshore customers increased by 13% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same period last year. The increase in unit shipments was primarily due to higher penetration of interior auto-dimming mirrors at certain European and Asian customers. Light vehicle production in Europe decreased by 1% in the third quarter and increased by 1% in Japan and Korea in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same period last year. Auto-dimming mirror unit shipments to offshore customers increased by 14% in the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same period last year. Light vehicle production in Europe increased by 3% for the first 9 months of 2008, compared with the same period last year. Light vehicle production in Japan and Korea also increased by 3% for the first 9 months of 2008, compared with the same prior year period. Looking next at average selling price per auto-dimming mirror unit, the ASP was $41.23 for the third quarter of 2008. The ASP decreased from $41.60 in the second quarter of 2008 to $41.23 in the third quarter of 2008, primarily due to the mix of increased base-featured mirrors. Based on our current forecast, we would expect the ASP in the fourth quarter to be approximately $41, depending upon the exact product mix. The ASP decreased on a year-over-year basis from the third quarter of 2007, when it was $42.24, to $41.23 in the third quarter of 2008, primarily due to annual customer price reductions, partially offset by the mix of more base-featured mirrors. Third quarter of 2008 and calendar year 2008 ASPs exclude non-auto-dimming mirrors and microphone units, and this is how we will be reporting ASPs going forward. Fire protection revenues decreased by 7% to $5.6 million for the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same period last year. Fire protection revenues decreased by 7% to $17.1 million for the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same period last year. The decreased revenues during both periods was due to the weak commercial construction market. Next, looking at gross profit margin, the gross profit margin of 30.5% in the third quarter of 2008 declined sequentially from 34.7% in the second quarter of 2008, primarily due to the company's inability to leverage its fixed manufacturing overhead costs because of negative top-line growth and production inefficiencies as a result of last-minute customer order reductions. The balance of the decline was due to the declining benefit of foreign exchange rates. The gross margin declined on a year-over-year basis from 35.1% in the third quarter of 2007 to 30.5% in the current quarter, primarily due to decreased top-line revenues, resulting in the company's inability to leverage its fixed overhead costs, annual customer price reductions, and production inefficiencies as a result of last-minute customer order reductions, which were partially offset by purchasing cost reductions. Each negative and positive factor is estimated to have impacted the gross profit margin by approximately 1 to 2 percentage points. We currently expect our gross margin in the fourth quarter to be approximately 29%, depending upon top-line growth, purchasing cost reductions, and the depth of the global light vehicle production cuts. Gross profit margin will continue to be impacted by annual customer price reductions, uncertain global automotive production levels, our ability to leverage our fixed overhead costs, purchasing cost reductions, VAVE initiatives, and manufacturing yields. Next, looking at engineering research and development expense, ER&D expense decreased by 1% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same 2007 period. Expense related to the Muth litigation, which was settled on February 15, 2008, was $1.6 million in the third quarter of 2007. Excluding the Muth litigation expense, ER&D expense would have increased by approximately 12% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same prior year period. The increased expense is primarily due to additional staffing and engineering for new product development and new vehicle programs such as RCD and SmartBeam. ER&D expense increased by 3% in the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same 2007 period. Excluding Muth patent litigation expense of approximately $104,000 and the litigation judgment expense accrual reversal of $335,000 for the first 9 months of 2008, compared with patent litigation expense of $4.4 million for the same period in 2007, ER&D expense would have increased by approximately 18% for the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same period in 2007. Excluding the impact of the Muth litigation expense, ER&D expense is currently expected to increase by approximately 10% for the fourth quarter of 2008. Selling, general, and administrative expense increased by 13% in the third quarter of 2008 compared with the same prior year period. The increase was primarily due to the continued expansion of the company's overseas sales offices and foreign exchange rates. SG&A expense increased by 15% for the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same prior year periods, primarily due to the continued expansion of the company's overseas sales offices and foreign exchange rates. We currently believe that SG&A expense will increase in the fourth quarter by approximately 10 to 15%. This increase is also primarily due to the continued expansion of our overseas offices and foreign exchange rates. Next, looking at other income. Total other income decreased by 106% in the third quarter of 2008 and declined by 66% for the first 9 months of 2008 compared with the same prior year periods, primarily due to lower realized gains on the sale of equity investments due to current market conditions and lower interest income due to lower interest rates. Looking at the detail of total other income for the third quarter of 2008, investment income was $2,949,000. Other was a negative $3,515,000 for a total other expense of $566,000. For the first 9 months of 2008, investment income was $10,250,000. Other net was a negative $1,110,000 for a total other income of $9,140,000. In light of the current stock market environment, we currently expect other income to be minimal for the fourth quarter of 2008. This estimate assumes that realized losses on the sale of equity investments will likely offset investment income and that year-end mutual fund distributions will be minimal given the current market conditions. A few balance sheet items. At September 30, 2008, accounts receivable was $70.9 million. Inventories were $55.9 million. Patents and other assets were $9 million. Accounts payable were $30.5 million. And accrued liabilities were $31.4 million. Our tax rate was 33.3% in the third quarter of 2008 as compared with the statutory rate of 35%, primarily due to the domestic manufacturing deduction. Excluding stock option expensing, we currently expect that the tax rate for 2008 will be approximately 33.25% based on current tax laws. Our year-to-date cash flow from operations was $91 million. Our capital expenditures for the third quarter of 2008 was $9.6 million. Our depreciation expense for the third quarter in 2008 was $9.8 million. For calendar year 2008, our estimate for capital expenditures is now approximately $50 million. Depreciation expense for 2008 is now estimated at $36 to $38 million. An update on our share repurchase plan. During the third quarter of 2008, the company repurchased 2.5 million shares at a cost of approximately $39.7 million. The company has a share repurchase plan in place with authorization to repurchase up to 28 million shares of the company's stock. To date, including the prior share repurchases, the company has repurchased approximately 23.9 million shares, leaving approximately 4.1 million shares authorized to be repurchased under the plan. On October 17, 2008, the company paid a quarterly cash dividend of 11 cents per share to shareholders of record of the common stock at the close of business on October 7. The ex-dividend date was October 3. Next, an update on SmartBeam. We continue to be pleased with the progress we're making and the market acceptance for SmartBeam, the high beam headlamp assist product that we introduced in the 2005 model year. We are currently shipping SmartBeam for 18 2008/2009 vehicle programs. Current customers include Cadillac, Jeep, BMW, Audi, and Opel Vauxhall. During 2008, we expect to announce and start shipping SmartBeam mirrors to our first Asian customer. There are a number of follow-on programs for existing and new customers scheduled for the 2009 calendar year. Based on our existing forecasts, volumes and incremental sales dollars for SmartBeam will become more meaningful in the 2009 model year. For the 2007 calendar year, we shipped approximately 305,000 SmartBeams. For the 2008 calendar year, we now expect to ship approximately 300,000 SmartBeam units. The reduction in our unit shipment guidance estimate for 2008 is due to lower vehicle production volumes and slower than expected ramp-ups on certain programs as automakers make adjustments and right-size their production for lower sales volumes. Next, an update on rear camera display. We currently have announced 18 OEM rear camera display programs with Ford, Lincoln, Kia, GMC, Hyundai, Toyota, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, and Saturn, and 4 aftermarket or accessory programs with Mazda, Gulf States, Toyota, and Suzuki. There continues to be significant interest in Gentex's RCD mirrors, and we are working with a number of additional customers on original equipment programs that will be announced in 2008 and 2009. The company shipped approximately 65,000 RCD mirrors in calendar year 2007, and we now estimate that we will ship approximately 250,000 RCD mirror units in calendar year 2008. The reduction in our unit shipment estimate for 2008 is primarily due to lower vehicle production volumes and slower than expected ramp-ups on certain programs. Based on the current forecast, the company continues to believe that RCD mirror unit shipments will more than double in calendar year 2009 compared with calendar year 2008. The automakers currently offering a rear camera display product are doing this absent any legislation and made their decisions before any legislation was pending. The legislation that was signed into law on February 28, 2008, called the Kids Transportation Safety Act of 2007, orders the Secretary of Transportation at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to revise the federal standard to expand the field of view so that drivers can detect objects directly behind vehicles. The phase-in period during which automakers will need to meet the requirements set forth by NHTSA is expected to be between now and 2016. Next, an update on dimmable windows. Boeing currently expects that the first 787 Dreamliner planes will go into service in late 2009. Due to the ongoing Boeing machinist strike, we now anticipate that we will begin to deliver our windows to the aircraft production line in 2009. On October 5, Gentex and PPG Aerospace announced that we also will be shipping dimmable aircraft windows for use on the passenger cabin windows of the 2010 Beechcraft King Air 350i aircraft. This is the first aircraft in general and business aviation with dimmable windows. Each King Air 350i will have 15 windows, and we expect to begin shipments sometime in calendar year 2009. Other aircraft manufacturers continue to have interest in this technology, and we are working on those potential programs with PPG Aerospace. Next, some top-line growth estimates. The following projections for top-line growth are based on CSM's mid-October light vehicle production forecast. For the fourth quarter of 2008, our estimate for top-line revenues is a decline of approximately 15% compared with the same period in 2007. Based on the current forecast for light vehicle production levels including customer plans for significant extended holiday plant shutdowns. However, due to the many uncertainties in the marketplace, we believe that there is potentially more downside than upside to global light vehicle production levels. For the fourth quarter of 2008, light vehicle production per CSM for North America is 3 million vehicle units, a 19% decline compared to the fourth quarter of 2007. The forecast for Europe is 5 million vehicle units, an 11% decline compared to the prior year fourth quarter. And the forecast is 3.8 million vehicle units for Japan and Korea, a 7% decrease compared to the fourth quarter of 2007. For the calendar year 2008, light vehicle production per CSM will be 12.9 million vehicle units for North America, a 15% decline compared to the prior year. The forecast is 21.5 million vehicle units for Europe, a 1% decrease compared to the prior year. And the forecast is 14.8 million units for Japan and Korea, which is flat compared to the prior year. At this point, this is the end of our prepared remarks, and I will turn the conference call back over to Connie.
Just as a quick reminder, all listeners should note that this call is being recorded by Gentex. All contents of Gentex Corporation's conference calls are the property of Gentex. No such content may be copied, published, reproduced, rebroadcast, retransmitted, or otherwise redistributed without the express written consent of Gentex Corporation. Gentex Corporation alone holds such rights. While we understand that there may be companies that transcribe and redistribute our conference calls, notwithstanding this warning, Gentex provides no authorization to do so and expressly disclaims any responsibility for any unauthorized use of the content. We advise that you should not rely on the content of any unauthorized transcripts, as Gentex Corporation will not be held liable for the content of any such transcripts. Gentex Corporation will hold responsible and liable any party for any damages incurred by Gentex Corporation with respect to any such unauthorized use. Your participation implies consent to our taping and to the foregoing terms. Please drop off the line if you do not agree to these terms. At this point, we will open the call up for questions and answers. Operator?
And if you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Rich Quaz with Wachovia.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Enoch, in terms of the guidance for the fourth quarter, it looks like in the third quarter, you underperformed the market in North America, outperformed the market in Europe. Should we assume that for the fourth quarter as well, meaning that you're looking at a 19% decline in overall production in North America? Should shipment performance be worse than that in North America and then better in Europe and Asia?
I think we would expect that trend to continue, Rich. As we pointed out in our comments, you know, as you and the other analysts are aware, we have a lot of volume tied to the pickup and SUV segment of the North American market. So you're correct in that we're underperforming the overall North American market, but our results are somewhere in between the overall market and the pickup and SUV segment. And then we also expect to continue to outperform the production levels overseas.
And could you remind us on the mix between Europe and North America in terms of average selling price, if there's a meaningful deviation from the overall average?
There is not a meaningful difference. At one time, when we first started selling into Europe, virtually all the mirrors we were selling were base mirror sub-assemblies, but today we have featured mirrors in Europe and Japan and Korea as well as in North America.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Welcome.
And our next question comes from David Leiker with Robert Baird.
Good morning.
Morning,
morning,
David.
Trying to figure out which question to ask. If you look at the expense side of the equation, the ER&D and the SG&A, you know, both of those you were talking about 15 to 20% growth in the second half of the year. And historically, you've made comments that you don't move that around with revenues, that you continue to invest for future business. Yeah, you pull that guidance down to roughly around 11 or 12% here in the second half of the year. Can you just talk through that a little bit? Is that a change in philosophy of what you've done in the past?
No. If you look at the SG&A expenses, one thing that has been impacting the growth is the foreign exchange rates, and as the dollar has strengthened, the impact of that is somewhat diminished, and we expect that to continue going forward. And within the SG&A expense line, the growth continues to be with the overseas offices. And when you look at ER&D expenses for the third quarter, if you exclude Muth, they came in at 12%. We've had a little slowing in hiring during the third quarter within the ER&D group, but you know, we're not changing any of our strategies or approaches with respect to expenses.
So, but you're talking about fourth quarter being 10%, right?
Yes.
So the second half of the year is up 11, and your guidance last quarter was 15 to 20%.
Correct.
I mean, that's a pretty meaningful drop. I just wonder if that's a timing issue or if that's a conscious effort to pull back on investment there.
Well, I think the other thing, David, in ER&D, as I think we announced earlier in the quarter, Mark Newton assumed responsibility for the electrical engineering group. And as part of that, you know, there has been some reorganization of that department to align the department with our product development processes. So I think, like Steve mentioned, the hiring did slow down a little bit due to some of that reorganization and determining, you know, where everybody fit in the new structure.
So on a longer-term basis, what should we look for those two line items to grow by?
We would expect longer-term that those expense lines would grow in this 10 to 15% range on a year-over-year basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
And our next call comes from Brett Holstead with KeyBank.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Brett.
Well, let's see here. Okay, this is a two-part question, but it's really the same question. Can you give us a sense of what's your mix of investments at this point in time, and has there been any material shifts in that mix recently?
There have been no material shifts in our investments, and if you just look at the breakdown on our balance sheet, as of the end of September, long-term investments were just under $107 million. That continues to primarily be equity investments. Short-term investments were just under $55 million, and those are invested primarily in government securities as well as a few CDs. And then cash and cash equivalents were just over $283 million, and those are invested primarily in money market funds.
Okay. Well, actually, that was the first part of the question. So the second part here is I'm thinking about your share repurchase. Seems like a somewhat mechanical program. You talked about that in the past. If you go back to the second quarter of 2006, you repurchased about 7 million shares in one quarter at an average price of about $14.50. Obviously, your share price is much lower than that, and given the mechanical nature of your program, it looks like you would probably repurchase, or I don't see any reason why you wouldn't repurchase a significant number of shares in the fourth quarter. However, your authorization is currently at 4.1 million remaining. Is there any reason to believe that you won't, or Gentex won't be increasing its authorization? Is there any reason to believe that at the current share price, you won't be very aggressive in repurchasing your shares?
Well, I think we do have established criteria for the plan, but you know, some of the factors we also take into account are the overall stock market conditions and the volatility. So, you know, given our criteria that we are more aggressive at in repurchasing at lower prices, certainly I think it would be reasonable to expect that we will be continuing to look at that. I think one of the other factors that's affected our share repurchases in specific quarters has been the blackout periods and the share prices inside and outside of those blackout periods. The share repurchase plan is reviewed at every quarterly board meeting. Our next board meeting is scheduled for around the middle of November, so I'm sure we will discuss that issue again.
Great. Thank you very much, Enoch.
Yep, you're welcome.
And our next question comes from Alexander Paris with Barrington Research.
Good morning.
Morning, Alex.
Just to finish up on the last question regarding your portfolio, could you give us an idea of the average return that you're getting on the fixed income part of your business?
Well, if you look at our money market funds, which account for the bulk of that, I would say currently it's on average around 3%.
Right. And you didn't get caught in any of the – there was one big fund, the reserve fund, that broke the buck. You know, were you involved in that one at all?
We were not involved with that, and we've been monitoring those accounts and funds very closely with respect to the underlying holdings in those funds.
But my actual question was just a kind of a bigger picture. It seems to me in the economy and the market and the auto industry that there was the really big drop happened very late in the quarter. Was that your experience that in the last month of the quarter that was surprisingly weak relative to your expectations?
Well, I think there's a difference between sales and production.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we see it from the production side in our 12-week customer order releases. And what we saw in the second half of the quarter was every week customers were dropping orders out for the following week. So there was very short notice of a lot of these order reductions or cancellations as the OEMs tried to catch up with the declining sales.
I ask that because it just seems like in overall production the numbers, it was such a sharp decline relative to July and August that there was a lot of talk that was really the impact of the credit freeze up hitting auto financing. And I was wondering is that a part of CSM's much sharper decline, forecasted decline in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I don't know, Alex, if you saw an automotive news article that came out this week where GM was estimating that tighter credit lending conditions were costing them unit sales of 10,000 to 12,000 vehicles per month, and that is just GM. So definitely the credit crisis or environment has significantly impacted automotive sales as well.
And again, the reason I ask that is if there are increasing signs that the bailouts are starting to ease credit, and if that continues, could you see some positive surprises in the fourth quarter from how much are you relying upon the CSM estimate? More than usual? Same as usual?
Same as usual. Again, we try not to second-guess CSM because then we start confusing ourselves.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from John Murphy with Merrill Lynch.
Good morning.
Morning, John.
I'm just wondering, Enoch, when we look at these production cuts to follow up on this and think about, you know, your ability to respond to these lower production schedules that we're probably going to see likely into next year and maybe even, you know, further out, when you get these production cuts, what can you respond to, or how can you respond in the short run as far as controlling and cutting costs in the short term? And then maybe if we think the long term, how you might be able to restructure or change your strategy as we go forward. So short term and long term, how can you cut costs and maybe restructure?
Okay, you know, when the company looks at how quickly the production cuts have been announced and with these very short-term reductions, we are looking at our manufacturing lines and making adjustments to them to match these production cuts. And a few things that we are looking at and have started is we have eliminated a third shift on certain production lines. We have historically used temporary contract workers that have filled and helped out in the production area in lines that have had increased demand. So we have eliminated the use of temporary contract employees near the end of the third quarter. And with many of our customers announcing extended plant shutdowns, we are planning for extended holiday plant shutdowns as well. So those are a few things we're doing in the short term from a variable cost standpoint. Now, obviously, from a fixed overhead standpoint, it takes a little longer to adjust and react to the current environment.
I think longer term, John, I mean, we're still confident that we will resume growing both with the penetration of EC mirrors as well as the features like RCD and Smart Beam. So while we may be deferring some further automation until such time as we see our growth resuming, you know, we continue to look for ways to improve our manufacturing processes, to improve the quality, and to improve the yields. And so we are trying to take advantage of this slower time to take a closer look at our manufacturing production lines and processes and make sure that when the growth starts picking up again that we are well positioned.
So structurally, you think sort of 2, 3, 4 years out, when hopefully the world settles down and biomes recover, that you'll pretty much look the same way you expect it to look anyway. It's just really this short-term period where there might be sort of some delays and short-term cuts. Is that kind of the way to think about this?
Yes, I think we're hoping that your 2, 3, 4-year estimate is overly pessimistic, but we wouldn't care to bet against you. And
I sure hope so, too. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. You're welcome.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, it is star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Greg Halter with Great Lakes Review.
Good morning.
Morning, Greg.
I noticed that your inventory levels, I think, are up about 17-18% year over year. I just wondered if you could comment on that increase relative to the drop in the top line.
Okay. If you look at the inventory levels, that increase is primarily due to longer lead times on certain electronic components in conjunction with these last-minute order release reductions we're experiencing with our customers. So the bulk of our inventory increase has been in the raw materials area due to that.
So I think the expectation is that over the next few months that will be brought back in line with production levels.
Okay, and a similar question on the receivable side. I know they're down about 6%, but just wondering if you could comment on the quality of your receivables at this point.
Well, we continue to monitor a number of our customers' financial situation as well as the Tier 1s. We are looking at payment history and their behavior, and currently there's nothing of any significance as far as, you know, past due accounts. So we are monitoring that in this current environment.
Okay, I think our DSO, our day sales outstanding, is still around the mid-40 days. But like Steve mentioned, you know, there certainly are financial stresses in the system, and there's certainly bankruptcy and other negative financial news about some of the OEMs and some of the Tier 1 mirror companies to which we ship our exterior mirror subassembly. So we are well aware that there is a risk there, and Steve's group is spending a lot of time in that area monitoring the situation.
Have you increased your reserves at this point?
We historically, on a year-over-year basis, increase our reserves, but nothing material as far as increasing adjustments.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Garo Noren with BlackRock.
Hi, I've got a question. I just wanted to see if you could help me understand the, I guess, confidence that you have behind an assumption of long-term top-line growth of greater than 10%. I use that because I know that you guys have said in the past you get kind of negative leverage when it's below 10%. And, you know, four out of the last 5 years, you've been below 10%. And if I look at it even on a 10-year basis, kind of the compounded annual growth is probably somewhere just over 11%. So looking out 5 years or so, why is there confidence that we stay, you know, more times than not above 10%?
Okay, well, I think that's a very good question. I think what we've said is that we feel fairly confident that our organic top-line growth rate can exceed 10% based on continued penetration of EC mirrors and the introduction of new features like SmartBeam and RCD. We have also said that the net top-line growth will clearly also be affected by overall global production levels and specific vehicle platforms that where we offer our EC mirrors. So, you know, you're completely factually correct. I think if you look at, you know, our history, whether it's the last 5 years or a little longer, if you break out the impact of global production levels and the GMT 800/900 declines, you know, those have partially offset our organic growth and then netting to this mid-single digit top-line growth over the past 4 or 5 years. So I think we've always said that this greater than 10% is predicated on a neutral global production environment and specifically on the vehicle platforms that we are on.
Okay.
We'll take a follow-up question from David Leiker with Robert Baird.
Just one other item here to follow up on. When you look at, you made a comment in your release that you've seen strong customer penetration strong penetration of particular customers. Can you give us some perspective where you're seeing that strength in particular? I mean, obviously, one is going to be Ford at the margin, but...
Okay, we're trying to find our comment.
We're trying to figure out what you're talking about, David.
I thought there was a comment in there.
Oh, I know. It has to do with our overseas customers, David, right? And we're talking about our certain European and Asian customers.
Yeah, increased penetration of interior mirrors at certain companies, European and Asian customers are a primary factor. Are those relative? I mean, can you give us some other color on that in terms of where you're seeing that happen? Are those your more traditional Asian and European, or are those newer customers?
No, there are traditional European and Asian customers.
Okay. To look at it a different way, are you seeing any changes in penetration? I know it's kind of hard to do, but at trim levels, that within, you know, the mix issue that you're seeing some changes where customers aren't ordering the mirror, or they're ordering lower packages, and your mirror's not on those vehicles. Do you have any way to have some insight into that?
Well, I think we have some insight. It's pretty limited. I mean, I think we would say primarily we're being impacted by vehicle production levels. We are not seeing any significant impact from changes in take rates from customers ordering lower trim levels. And I think the other thing we've said overseas, and especially in Europe, is that, you know, for the same size vehicle, the vehicles in Europe tend to offer more features than they historically have in North America.
Right. And then just one other item, if you can give us some insight. I know that this is something you disclose in your SEC filings. But how big are the losses running in the fire products business here? That you're running the Boeing window program through there, right?
Yeah.
Is there any meaningful change there from what we've seen the last?
No.
It's been break even, $100,000 loss or something like that the last couple quarters. Is there any meaningful difference there?
No, there isn't. And actually, in the segment disclosure within the 10Q, that other category, the loss is lower than in previous quarters.
And okay. Really, the fire protection division is as profitable as it historically has been. It's the direct and allocated losses to the dimmable window segment that's basically offsetting the fire protection division's profitability.
Right. Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
We have time for one more question.
Okay, and our last question will come from Joe Hosler of OFI Institutional.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
I wanted to get an idea of how much revenue is dependent upon the large SUV segment.
Well, I think we've said historically that a significant portion of our North American revenues, which would include the Detroit 3 as well as the transplants, was tied to the SUV and pickup segment. And we've said further that the majority of our business with GM is tied to the GMT 900 platform.
And okay, so right now it's running 13% as of year to date. What was it in the third quarter, would you suspect?
It's about the same. You're talking about GM Global as a percentage of our total revenues.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So we are getting closer to the end of SUVs driving your top line.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it that fortunately or unfortunately, the impact of the SUVs and pickups continues to decline as their volumes decline in North America and also as we increase our growth overseas.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to our call. If you have additional questions, we will be here to answer your questions. Thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye.
And that does conclude our presentation. You may now disconnect.